Somebody said, well, the Jews sure missed the Savior, and they did. They missed the Savior because they looked for him in a great, elaborate way to come riding in on a white stallion, but he came on the foal of an ass. And you might say, well, Brother Pike, they missed their deliverer. No, they didn't miss their deliverer. No, they didn't miss him. They were looking for him on a white horse, and they still believe that he's to come.
That's right.
And when he comes as their deliverer, it'll be on a white horse. You can read it in Revelation. He comes back from heaven, comes down on a white horse with many crowns after the tribulation.
Right.
And that's when they'll receive him, because that's the way they're looking for him. But they paid a big price for not receiving him in humility. But God blinded Israel in part. But Paul said it's written that there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and turn ungodliness away from Jacob. So there'll be one to come. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to read from the second book of Kings, over in the sixth chapter. And I want you to bear with me just a little bit and try not to hold you long. Just say to you whatever the Lord gives me. I don't feel discouraged because we haven't got many people. I ain't preached to you this just hard as if I had 10,000 here. It won't bother me a bit. But I feel encouraged preaching to a lot of people, because the more people you got, the more opportunity you got to reach souls. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. In this last ministry of Christ, it's going to narrow down even more.
Amen.
It's going to narrow down even more. You say, why? Because he said, well, there's two or three I'll be in the midst. And that's just about the way it's going to be. You can't hardly find him in the midst of 10,000. But when he gets down to two or three, that's usually where you find him. And so then it's going to get real narrow. You say, how do you know this, Brother Pye? Because I believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says that in the book of Ruth, that Boaz, he sent his reapers out into the field, and they had the whole field to harvest. And apparently their harvest was real big. And they swept the fields, cut down the grain, took the grain in, but not a one of them become the bride of Jesus Christ. God took about 6 million out of Egypt, and out of all of them, nobody but Joshua and Caleb got into Canaan. You say, what are you trying to say? Ruth was just a gleaner, but she was the bride. She come along after this great reaping. You say, what do you mean? I mean that God has sent forth angels in the earth in the last days to reap down the harvest. But they only did what he expected them to do. He expected them to do that. He gave them special anointing and special power to do that. They only did what he expected. In the days of Boaz, those men worked for Boaz. He expected them to do that, those reapers. But he didn't expect Ruth to do that. She done it on her own. She just come in and she gleaned the field. And just whatever she could get, that's what she took. But all the time Boaz was watching Ruth, because Ruth was the last to come up, and Ruth was to be the bride of Boaz. You say, do you believe that the revival's over and gone? Yes, I do. Do you believe there's going to be any more revival? The Bible said they dropped a handful on purpose just to encourage her to keep her going. Yeah. You say, well, do you believe there ain't going to be any more big crowds? No, I believe there'll be even bigger crowds than there've ever been. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Some will come to criticize, some will come to mock, some will come to get saved, some will come to see what's going on. But he'll draw them all. They'll all come. And there will still be great multitudes coming in. But the thing we've got to remember, that out of the great multitudes, there'll only be just two or three saved. It'll just be a gleaning. You might have 500 to come to a revival. And out of 500, you do good if you have three saved. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I mentioned here the other night how that Billy Graham said he come into a city, said he had 1,000 of people converted. He'd go back in a week or a month and he can't find any of them. That really something's happening. Something's happening. All right, you say, Brother Pike, why is this? It's the end time. And God is getting the message to the bride. He's getting his bride ready. All right, now, what causes it? I want to read it to you right here, what causes it. It says here in the 25th chapter of the 5th verse, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence cometh thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, I want you to listen real close now. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Let's go down a little farther in the 6th chapter. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man the beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. All right. Now the brother tonight, just before I got up here, he said about the end of Jesus' ministry, they began to leave him. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there was a great multitude. When this message first came into the land, there was a great multitude. They could just put up a brush armor. And when the message first came and Christ first started moving in the restoration of the church, there was great multitudes that followed the word. And then there was a great change. And they began to make insertions. And they began to make alterations. And eventually they eliminated the word. Like when God gave the word to Moses, it was in its pure, unadulterated form. But the teachers of that day, like the preachers of our day, and those that made insertions, the scribes, who were the writers, and the Pharisees, who believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, Jesus said all of them, though they were religious, he said they're still just a big bunch of hypocrites. That's what he called them. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. All of you religious. He said, but you're just religious because you want the long robes to have the salutations in the marketplace and be called a men rabbi. Have somebody to say to you, I know you're a preacher. I know you're reverend. I saw you on television. I heard you on the radio. I saw your picture. They love the salutations in the marketplaces, the Bible said. Jesus called them all a bunch of hypocrites. And then, when the word himself came to them, they had changed the word that God gave Moses so much. Until the word came to them, they didn't even recognize the word anymore. And they put it out the door. And the same thing is happening in our day. God gave the word in the restoration of Pentecost. But they've made so many doctrines and so many disciplines and put so much theology and so much ideology in to try to keep from hurting certain people's feelings and to try to keep the church filled with people and to get the doctrine, the Dennis and the Lord, and trying to make allowance for everybody so that they could get up with the first church until the day they've got a nest of rotten eggs. And the Bible said, if you hatch them all, said they'll be cockatrice. He said, you got bad eggs. And said, if they hatch, then they'll be cockatrice. They're not going to be sons and daughters of God. They've done him till he said the church has become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means evil spirits. And you feel this kind of spirit in this service. And you feel that kind of spirit. You shake hands with sister so-and-so, and her spirit's in this kind of condition. Shake hands with brother so-and-so, his spirit's in this kind of condition. The evangelist gets up to preach and he runs into brother so-and-so's spirit. He gets up to preach, he runs into sister so-and-so's spirit. And the time he tries to make allowance for everybody that's in the church, he has to close the revival door. Amen. He's to have to plow right through it and uproot those evil briars that's entangled the church and the people. Or he has to fold up and go home.
Amen.
Well, I never was good at folding up and go home, so a lot of people just get turned under. I learned something when I was a little boy. I used to plow in the field. And I'd run across snakes. We lived in a place and it was snaky, hadn't been tended for many years. A great big plantation. And a lot of the boys that plowed was afraid of snakes. But I never could understand why I wasn't afraid of snakes. I believe I got some idea why now. But I never have been afraid of evil spirits. And I never was afraid of snakes. I'd hit a place, a lot of times would break a plow pole on a root. But I'd get me another one and put it on. And I just keep plowing. When I hit a snake, I just turn him under, stop him, hit him in the head, and keep going. It just never did bother me. So then, I've always been the kind of preacher that when I called to preach a revival, I tried to find out if God's in it. If God's in it, every snag I hit, I either break the plow pole or break it or turn it under. Because I come to break up the fallow ground. I do it without respect of person. I've had people that sat in my services that tried to give offerings. They come to me and try to do all kind of things. But when I started plowing, I plowed under them just like I did the rest of them. I've never had a respected person because Jesus wasn't a respected person. He treated everybody just exactly alike.
Amen.
When the word came, they didn't even recognize it. Why? Because they have altered the word in such a way. Today, they have made the church a dwelling place of every unclean spirit. And they've driven the Holy Spirit out. And he said, thy zeal. Paul said, Israel, you got a zeal, but it's not according to the knowledge of God. He said, your zeal has eaten me up. It's eaten me up. Thy zeal to dance and shout. Thy zeal to get somebody to notice you. Thy zeal to have a big church with big names. He said, thy zeal to have a big congregation. He said, it's eaten me up. The word doesn't have no place anymore. The word said, you've driven me out. They shouted him out. They prophesied him out. They've done everything else till the word in this day doesn't have any place in their hearts anymore.
Man.
That's why the revivals are like they are. Jesus started with a big multitude and finally it got down to just a little bitty crowd.
Amen.
And I've made this statement and I still make it. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it'll be the same way. Gideon started with a great big crowd. But when he got ready to fight the battle, God said, Gideon, if I take all of these people, they won't give me the glory.
Right.
I've got to take a few people and win this battle. If he takes the Baptist church and the Methodist church and the Presbyterian church and the Pentecostal churches and puts them all together in one great big national council of churches, like the world says he's going to do, and they win the battle, you know who would get the glory? The PhDs. Mm-hmm. The smart, intelligent men.
Amen.
But you know who he's going to take? The Bible said God has chosen the foolish and the base things of this world to confound the wise.
Amen.
Why did he close, Brother Landry out of the theater because he wanted over here in a poor part of Atlanta, Georgia, a little place despised and rejected. Like they said of Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They'll think anything good come out of that revival. Can anything good come over that street over there? I'll tell you what, God knows. Let's go sit down or go on and do whatever you got to do. We're busy right now. All right, now then. God can bring something good out of every revival. It's like the man said that. He can do it. And God wants to bring something good out. But he wants a little humble place to do it. Why? Because if brother so-and-so had done it, they'd say, well, I never expect anything else out of him. Sure, they expect as much out of him. If a PhD comes down the street, or a DD, and he does something big, why, they say, why, sure, he studied in college to do it. It was supposed to be that way. He's been on the radio, been on the television. Why, sure, he's the man that's supposed to do it. And who gets the glory? So then when God goes to do something, he's got to find somebody that's nobody. That's the way he does it. Somebody that's a nobody. I don't think Brother Landry will mind me making this statement. Like one of the preachers here in Atlanta, Georgia, was too big to come to his place when he had a few people over there. He said, I can't come over there to a little old place where he's at and play nurse maid to a handful of people. Well, if you could draw such a big crowd, why didn't he come over there and he had a whole big crowd over there too?
That's right.
He didn't have to preach to a handful of people. You know why he didn't do it? The people are afraid they'll degrade themselves. They're afraid somebody will come and their crowd will be small.
Uh-huh.
And somebody say, oh, ain't nothing to him. There ain't no crowd for him.
That's right.
I'll tell you something, folks. You better wake up. You better get your eyes open and see what God's doing.
Amen.
God said, get in, you've got too many people. And I can't get the glory for it. And it's still the same way today. When Jesus finally come to the end of his ministry, all of them had left him except the 12 that was chosen. And he looked at them and said, are you going to leave too? And I say this and I stand by that them that was chosen from the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ, when he said, fear not, little flock, it is thy Father's goodwill and pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom.
Amen.
That little flock that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world is the only one that's going to be left with him.
That's right.
You can go back and you can check the Church of Rome. And you'll find out when the Church of Rome went through the great persecution, that nobody didn't want to be numbered with the saints. When they started to burn them at the stake, when they started to bear a reproach for Jesus' name back there, they did not want to be numbered with the true saints of God.
Amen.
When Constantine came in and gave the church its liberty, now this is history, when he came in and gave them their liberty, and made them outstanding in the sight of the people because his mother was one of the Christians. He wanted to make way for his mother. Then you know what happened? History said the churches literally filled up. There wasn't no more persecution. It got popular to be religious. It became popular. When Jesus' name gets popular, when it gets popular to be baptized in Jesus' name, when it gets popular to take be called by the name of the Lord, you'll see the others come into it.
Amen.
But brother, as long as it is a reproach, they're going to keep their church organization out of it.
Amen.
Because they don't want to lose Dr. So-and-so, Dennis So-and-so, and all those kind of things. But I tell you, just like the prophet said right here, after that he looked at Gehazi, he said, Gehazi, he said, where did you go? Gehazi said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, you're lying. He said, Gehazi, I saw you in the spirit. and you was running after the world. I saw you. You walked with me. You preached with me. Or that is, you stood by me. You was one of my co-workers. I expect Brother Landers got a lot of it coming to church. It's supposed to be co-workers.
Right.
But when the Holy Spirit spoke of it, he said, I saw you running after the world. There's a lot of you running after the world.
Right.
A lot of you running after the world. That's where the trouble is. When he saw him, he was running after the world. Naaman come over there, all souped up, fixed up in a beautiful suit, fixed up in a beautiful chair, with writings from the king, came down to the prophet. Well, the prophet didn't have no respect to person. He got down there and he pulled up in front of the little old shack where Elisha was, and he waited for Elisha to come out and greet him, you know.
Amen.
Elisha told his servants, said, right there and tell that fellow to go down there and take a bath in that muddy river down there and get starch out of him. So the little old servant went out there and told him. Oh, he got furious. He said, well, don't he know who I am? Maybe he don't know who I am. Maybe you ain't recognized some of these preachers around Atlanta. Maybe you don't know who they are yet. So then he said, they don't know who I am. I'm Naaman. Said, I thought surely he'd come out here and meet me at the door and say, come in. Sure, we're glad to have you. God bless you. Yes. That's the way they do it, you know. So then he got into a rage. He said, I ain't going down to that muddy river. I'm not going down there to take a bath. Said, what about the waters of Damascus? What about the rivers of Babar? He said, all of those waters are clean and the people know they're clean.
Man, that's right.
Why come he couldn't tell me to go over there and take a bath? He knows I'm a man of reputation. Why did he tell me to go down to Holy Church? Why could he just send me to the Baptist Church? I said here the other night, you know the difference? The Baptist Church ain't got the healing waters in it. That's the trouble.
Right.
You go over to what's clean in the sight of the people. But God has suffered everything that can be muddy and filthy to be thrown at the holiest people. You know why? Waters is a type of people in the Bible. He's caused them to throw mud. He's caused people to come in that's supposed to be preachers. Stay in the pulpit for a little while when it wasn't nothing but devils to start with. Take some man's wife and run off with her to reproach the holiness church.
Amen.
He's done everything he could to reproach it. You say, but did God let that happen, Brother Pike? He certainly did let it happen. Why? Because he wanted to put the mud on the water to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent so they couldn't monopolize all of it. He wanted to keep the doctor, the lawyer away from it because he knows when all of them got in over here, that carnal mind, the same thing that caused the trouble in the garden. That same tree of knowledge and education that caused the trouble in the garden. He knows when all them educated people got it, they'd get a monopoly on it. And that'd be it. The little man would be crowded out and he couldn't get in there no more. That's right. So he wanted to hide it from them. He let the Baptists and the Methodists and all of them have PhDs and BDs and everything else to draw the scum of the earth over to them. You say, Brother Piper, are you calling Dr. Scum? I didn't say nothing about it. Doctors being scum. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. So then Naaman said, I ain't going to take a bath in the water no how. I think it's muddy. I don't like your preaching anyhow. That's the way to feel about it.
Right.
Brother Pike, you didn't say what I like to hear. I think I'll go back over to Brother So-and-so, somebody said. I think I won't come anymore. I had four to get up and walk out last night, about 4 or 5. That makes me feel better. Because I know something's happening. See, if people get to moving, you know something's happening. If it don't move, something's going wrong. The Bible said, woe unto that man that everybody speaks well of.
Amen.
Why? It said, cause the deed to the false prophets. That's why.
Amen.
Said, but when they reproach you and speak all manner of evil against you, for my name's sake. Said, then rejoice. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Said, for this is what they did to the prophets. That proves you got a connection somewhere in heaven.
Right.
Oh, somebody said, well, that's confusing. Now I thought because Brother So-and-so was on television and radio, and I thought because he had all these other things, he was really God's man. Well, that's what a lot of folks thought. You say, if you think it's wrong to be on television, I didn't say that. Did you think it's wrong to be on radio? I didn't say that. Do you think it's wrong to put out literature? I didn't say that. But the Bible said if a man come and testify of himself, his witness is not true. But every testify of him that sinned, his witness is true, and there's no unrighteousness within him. If a man comes and preaches the word of God and lifts up the name Jesus, that man is holy. If that man comes and you see him lifted up here and lifted up there and lifted up over yonder, everything's about him, he ain't right with God. There ain't no righteousness in the man. His testimony's false because it's about himself. I meet people, you know, around the country, they'll say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I've been here and I've been over yonder and just watch what we're going to do. And all their conversation tells about thee. But you hardly ever hear them talk about Jesus. Hardly ever hear them say anything about the word. You say, how do you talk about Jesus? Talk about the word. Amen. Let your conversation be holy. He's the word. When you quote the word, talk about the word, live the word, you're talking about Jesus. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. So then what did they say here? He said, I'm not going down to the river. So the little servant, he turned around to him, he looked at him. He said, well, said Naaman, said, you do whatever you want to. That was the essence of it, you know. So you can suit yourself about it. I know the water's muddy. And said, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, you'd have said that was God, you'd have done it.
Yes, amen.
He said, now you can run off and be huffed up and puffed up if you want to. He said, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He said, you're dying with leprosy. He said, you ain't in no position to argue. I'm going to tell you people something. Say this to whoever hears this. That you can rebel against God if you want to. You can be puffed up in the ministry if you want to. But you better remember you're dying with sin. And you're on your way to hell. And the Bible said the minister is the only one that can help you. Because God sent them in the church to perfect the church.
Amen.
He's coming back after a perfect church. All right, he said, I ain't going down there. But after he thought it over, the little servant said, how easy, neighbor, would it be just to go on down there and take a bath in those waters? And I said the other night, the reason the prophet told him to take a bath in the River Jordan was because looking down through the telescope of time, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. And Peter in his writing and Paul referred back, said the Holy Ghost spake to these men. The Holy Ghost showed Elisha that someday the Son of God would come and he would go down to the River of Jordan and be baptized in its muddy water. Right. And that's where he would be. That's where the Holy Ghost would come down in the form of a dove. These are the waters that would be anointed. As he said to Moses, the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. He didn't see him going to the rivers of Damascus. And I'm going to say this, and you might not like it, but I'm going to say it anyhow. He didn't see him going to the Baptist church, and to the Baptist church, and to the Catholic church. Somebody said, we all head the same way. A lady told me one time, she said, well, we're all the same thing, head the same way. I beg your pardon, some people are heading for hell, and I ain't heading that direction.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Some people are hypocrites. Some people don't love God, and I do love God. I don't want to be no hypocrite. We're not heading the same way. No. Somebody said, well, God loves everybody. That's not true. Wait a minute now. Some people said God loves everybody. The Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day that goes around. Every day of our life, if we're not living right, the Bible said God is angry with us. Now, how could I love my wife and be angry with her every day that she walked up and looked at me? How could I do it? The Bible says the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. Every time she set food on my table, I say, I love you, but that's an abomination to me. And he said, I will pursue the wicked till he perish from over the face of the earth.
say I love you, but I'm going to keep on till I kill you. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that kind of love.
Somebody said, well, God loves everybody. The Bible didn't say that. You can't find that in the Bible. That's not Bible. That's the way that the PhDs of this world has been. To soothe their evil conscience and to let every ungodly and filthy thing that is come into the church. God said your tables are filled with vomit. Somebody said, well, I thought it was filled with praise and hallelujah. I thought it was filled with shouting. We've been hollering praises. He said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of food. Why did he say be more ready to hear? Because faith cometh by hearing. It's by grace through faith that you're saved hearing the word. So then he wasn't going down there. He just said, I'm not going to the muddy water. But after he thought it over, he decided that that was the wise thing to do. I ain't go back over yonder. But prestige ain't going to do a dead man no good.
Right.
Now you might be Dr. So-and-so and you might be Mrs. So-and-so and you might feel this way and that way and all them other kind of things. But I'll tell you something. When you're screaming in the bottomless pits of hell, it won't do you any good. Prestige and fame and honor and popularity. It won't do you any good. Why? Because you'll be in hell. So then, he said the church is a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Naaman said, I just ain't going down to that river. It's too dirty. So then finally he decided it's the only thing to do. That was what a virtue was. God has kept the doctors and the lawyers and the dentists and the upper class out of this thing. I know we got the full gospel businessmen. I preach for them. I've been in their services and I know they're doing a lot of good in a lot of ways. But I also know they're doing a lot of harm. The Bible said if a brother be an adulterer, if he be a fornicator, or an adulterer, don't even so much as eat with him. And they're eating with every kind of thing that can be made mention of. You say, but Jesus eat with the publicans and the sinners. Paul said, I do not say not to eat with the fornicators of this world. He said, if you don't eat, you have to go out of the world. The sick need a physician. But he said, if any man be called a brother. That's right. You know what they told him here? And this is the trouble with the world today. In the sixth chapter, after that they saw what Elisha had said unto these people, the rest of them looked around and said, it's too straight for us. Said, this way is just too straight for us. Elisha, the place that you dwell is too straight for me. You say, they won't tell you that. Yes, they will tell you that.
Yes, they will.
I had a man to come to me in Mississippi that tried everything he knew to do, just about to live a Christian life. When I pinned it down to just what it was, he'd been coming to church, he'd been with us, he'd stayed with us, he even comes way over here to visit with me now. He comes to me, he said, Brother Pike, I know that's the truth, but it's too straight for me. That's right. Not too long ago down in Cornerdale down here, a man that's in a place of prestige down there over the mills, he went down to, some of them went to the homeless church, and he told him, he said, I know that that's right. So that Jesus name teaching you got out there and that being filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I know that it's right. He said, but it's too straight for me. He said, I can't keep my office of prestige and do these things. That's what Naaman was worried about.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can't keep my new car and sell it at the same time. I can't keep my new house and sell it at the same time. I can't keep money in the bank and give it away at the same time. I had somebody come to me recently. They said, I don't understand this thing. Said, you say God's going to bless me and yet you tell me to give everything I got away. How's God going to bless me? You say, when people ask that question, that's the truth before God. They come to me and ask that question. All right, now, let's see if this is the word of God. Let's see if Brother Pike's a false prophet or if he's preaching the truth. The Bible said here when he turned to Gehazi, after that Naaman was healed, Gehazi saw that Elisha wasn't going to take a lot of money and build an empire like Judas did over there. And he wasn't going to get to be the right-hand man down here and get to be on television and all these other things, so to speak. Then he decided he wasn't so sure where he wanted to be the right-hand man of Elisha or not.
Right.
Judas decided it wasn't going to be a worldly kingdom. He wasn't going to be a big shot. He didn't care nothing about it. And the Bible said in the last days, they'll say, I'm not a healer. Because there ain't no bread in my house. I'm not a preacher. When Gehazi come back, he had went running after Naaman and said, now Naaman, Elisha didn't take none of this money, but I think I could use a little bit.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's what he said.
You know, one preacher will pass it by. One preacher will be son of God, and he'll pass it by, and the other fellow will run right over here behind him. And he'll see if he can hem it all up. You know, come over here to our church.
Uh-huh.
Well, I believe you're right in the will of the Lord. After all, I need to trade cars anyway. Is that the truth? That's the truth. So help me God. You say, Brother Pike, is that the truth? My hand be raised to God. That's the truth. I've seen it all over the United States, everywhere I've been. He said here, he said, Elisha, he said to Gehazi, he said, Gehazi, where have you been? Well, he said, I haven't been anywhere. He said, you're lying. He said, you've been running after the world. He said, I saw you when you went over and Naaman and took the money that I refused.
Uh-huh.
I saw you when you went over and went on to all them. That pretty wardrobe over there. I saw it. But he took it somewhere and hid it. All right, now. I want you to listen right close to it now, and I'll show you just exactly what happened to the church of today. What was it? He said, Gehazi, he said, is this any time to go about planting olive yards and vineyards and building houses and putting money in the bank, getting wardrobes and those kind of things? He said, is it any time for that? Now, I'm asking you folks. Somebody come to me today and told me that they've got them 4 or 6 acres of land or 5 acres of land or something, go build them a house. Well, the boy's a good boy. I love him. And I know he wants a home, and I want a home. I'd love to see him have it. But I thought today as he talked to me, I told him, I said, that's wonderful. But I thought today, is it any time to do that? Is this the time to do that? Is it? Somebody said, I need a home. Is this the time to buy a home? I made the statement today. We talk about wanting God in our midst. And yet in the early church, they sold everything they had and put it into the work of God.
Right.
When the kingdom of God, as far as the judgment, was hundreds of years away. Here we are and know that it's right here on us. And instead of selling what we got, we're getting every dollar we can and building and buying and building and buying.
Man.
I said this, and I want to say it again. The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over to stick in the bank. He that gathered little had no life. That's exactly what it meant. You say, what's the scripture? He that gathered much had nothing left over. He that gathered little had no life. Paul said, not that ye should be burdened, other men be at ease, but rather your abundance should supply the life of others. Old Brother Al Gonzalez down yonder in Mexico ain't got nothing to eat. Gave up a brick home and a government job to go down there and preach the gospel. While we sit up here and we eat and slumber and have a good time.
Amen.
And his little children live without a lot of times down there.
Amen.
To preach the gospel. He's gathering little down there, but up here we're gathering much. And if I gathered much and put it in the bank, and I could do it, I gathered much, and I could have put it in the bank, I could have very easily have done it. But if we gather much and we put it in the bank, then we're going to stand in the judgment for it. Because the Bible said God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. And those little children, all the young on the streets of Vietnam, over in Africa, over in India, down in Mexico, and around the world, are starving to death. And God sees it. And what are we doing over here? They tell me that down in South Georgia, they dug a big trench, put their hogs in there, and they shot them.
Bury
them. Killed them. Got away with them.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah. And the welfare called and asked them, said, would you give us those hogs for the needy? Oh, no. So we're going to give all we're going to give away. The Bible said the merciful shall obtain mercy. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. When the people in the foreign nations that are starving to death reads in their newspapers and hears over their radios, and don't you think they won't get it?
Amen. Sure will.
When they hear that we are doing that and they're starving to death, they'll hate us. They'll hate us. They took milk and just poured it out. They took potatoes and dumped them into the ocean. I saw this. I sat and looked at it on a film. That the storage bin that we've got where we keep our grain and keep our products to keep the price up on them. They made the statement, said it's costing us more taxes to keep the stuff in storage than it's worth. Their own lust and greed is eating them up. All right, what is it? Said here, said it's no time to build houses, it's time to sell your house. Ain't no time to buy land, it's time to sell the land unless you're going to use it for God. All right, when they heard this, what did they do? The Bible didn't say the sinners. It said the sons of the prophet. It was the sons of the prophet that said this. The church said to Elisha, Elisha, is that what God expects out of us? Is that what we got to do? All they say, this is just too straight. Said, we'll just have to move over on the other side of the hill somewhere. You just have to dwell by yourself. Right. That's why your pews are in there.
Everybody
said, you just have to dwell by yourself. We can't go along with you. But now Brother So-and-so's having a revival right over here. And we believe we can make it with him. I'm going to tell you something. And you listen to me, folks. You're going to make it just as far as Brother So-and-so is going. And that's as far as you're going. You're going just as far as Brother So-and-so is going. How far is Brother So-and-so going? He's going far enough to go through the tribulation. But he's never going to get into the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's going to translate the body and take the bride out of here. He'll never do it. He'll never do it. I have searched around the country and I've never found anybody that has ever gotten into the revelation of Jesus Christ except those that gave their all. You say, is that Bible? The Bible said the rich men cast in out of their abundance and it didn't even move Christ. But when the little widow gave her living and gave her all, it moved God.
Right.
You say, but Brother Pike, they wasn't religious. I believe they was religious. Because when the rich young ruler come to Christ, he said, good master, what must I do to be saved? He said, you know the commandments, that you would enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, I've been just as religious as I could be. He said, I've kept all the commandments ever since I've been a child.
Right.
Jesus in so many words said, son, you're lying. You know you're lying.
Right.
Why, one of the greatest commandments of all is love thy neighbor as thyself. And can a man store up stuff over here and be rich and another man be starving to death and love his neighbor as himself?
Right.
Jesus said, you've not kept them. He said, if you'd have kept them, you'd have entered into life, just like I told you. The Bible said no man ever kept the law except Jesus Christ. There never was a man that ever kept it. And even he couldn't be justified by it. He had to be justified in the Spirit.
Amen.
The man lied. That's what he done. He lied to the Lord.
Right.
So then he hadn't loved his neighbor as he said. Jesus said, now I'll tell you, likest thou one thing?
What?
See, he said, you lied. Son, you might have kept it pretty close. He said, but yet you like one thing. He could have said he liked a dozen things. But he remember one thing. He said, now you might have done a pretty good job of keeping it. He said, but you like something. You overlooked something while you was trying to keep
right.
it. What was it? He said, I like this one thing yet. All right, he said, what is it? He said, go sell all that you've got. They said, it's too straight for me.
Straight.
It's just too straight for me. That's all it is. You mean I can't have my haughty spirit anymore? You mean I can't thunder around and rule the husband and kick the young ones around anymore? You mean to tell me that I've just got to be an old nobody that somebody can just walk over and say anything they want to and just be kicked around like a dog? That's too straight for me. You mean I can't rise up when I don't like what they said? That's too straight for me. I can't have a new car and I can't have a new home? That's too straight for me. That's what they say, that's too straight for me. They said, we'll just have to move over to the next side of the hill over here and build us a church of our own.
Right.
Said that he to themselves teaches because their ears was itchy.
Amen.
They wouldn't take the teachers God sent, said that he to themselves teaches. They'd process them through school and seminary and pick them out. And Like a man told me on the job today, he's Episcopalian. Episcopal lady told me today, he said, Brother Pike, said, I'll tell you the way we do. He said, we've got for our teaching the Apostolic Creed, and then we got the Nicene Creed. I said, you have? He said, yes, but we're not Catholic. He said, if you really want to get us all boiling and upset, you just call us a Catholic. So we're not Catholic. And he said, we don't take the preachers that the Pope sends. I said, you don't? He said, no. I said, well, what do you do? He said, we just go out and get who we want to. He said, and we listen at them and they stay just as long as we want them to stay. And if they preach what we think they ought to preach, then we let them stay. I said, well, what about the other way around? That was the essence of it. He said, well, if they don't preach what we think they ought to, put them on their way. Ain't that cute? You know, you just take a minister of God. You can pick out whoever you want to, and you just do them any way you want to. And when you get tired, just kick him out and send him down the river, so to speak. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God don't play like that.
No.
God doesn't work like that. When the prophets of God came, they said, thus saith the Lord. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, they said, it's thus saith the Lord. And it came to pass.
Right.
Somebody said, well, I thought you were supposed to do just exactly the way that I thought, Brother Pike, because I thought you was a good fella. Here I am, I'm all disappointed. Well, bless your heart. If you got disappointed, I want to tell you something. It's thus saith the Lord, just like it is. You can receive it, or you can reject it. Say, I don't come back anymore. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me. I didn't come here to see how many followers I could get. I came here to preach the word of God. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to be your follower, Brother Pike. Well, I didn't come here to get you to follow me anyway. If you'll follow the word of God, I'll be happy.
Right.
Well, if you can't follow the word of God and it's too straight for you, then I can't help that. I love you. I love you. I love you the same way God loves you. You see, you just said God didn't love everybody. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said, you say that God loves everybody. I said, the Bible don't teach that. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him, not whosoever cometh to church, not whosoever shouted, whosoever said, Lord, Lord. He said, whosoever believeth in him. Well, what about these others? He said, they were brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They were the wicked that was created for the day of judgment. He said there were ungodly men turning the grace of God into licentious and said, I'll pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. I'll burn them with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
Now, if you could show me how God can love a person and sit and watch them burn in the flames of hell, then I'll say to you that I believe that God loves everybody. I don't believe that. I believe he's angry with the wicked every day. I believe that God loves his creation. I believe that God loves the individual as his creation. I believe that. I believe that because the Bible said the creature of God is good. But did you know that everybody ain't creatures of God? Did you know that?
That's right.
Everybody ain't creatures of God. God, David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. I hate evil with a perfect hatred. And said, I count everyone that comes against this to be my enemy. So then God doesn't love them. To the contrary, he hates them. He hates them. The Bible said he hates the image of the wicked. He said, and when he awakes in the morning, I shall despise his image. You know why? Because it's the image of the beast. It's that brute beast image. So then you see, God doesn't love it. He despises it. Now, as I said, in an unadulterated form, God loves it. As a little child, God loves it. If he looked on it in its innocency. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close. In the Old Testament, even as a little kid, he never looked on it in its innocency. How many of you know that's Bible? He said, kill this man. Kill his children. When they throw the men into the lion's den that caused Daniel trouble, he threw all their young ones in there too. Why? Because if you got a dog out here, all of the little puppies, they may be little puppies, but they're still dogs. If you got a beast out here, they may be little beasts, but they're all beasts. Might be little wolves, but they're all wolves. Is that right? And that's the way God looked at it. And that's the way he still looks at it. You want to stand with me now? The place is too straight for me, Brother Pine. I don't see it like that. I want you to know tonight that God gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He so loved the world. Somebody said, well, you said love not the world. Why couldn't God love the world? Said He so loved the world. How? When it was in its garden. In its garden fashion. When it was beautiful. When it was holy. But now, why does He say not to love the world now? He so loved the world. So loved the world. In its beautiful fashion, that He gave His Son to purge and redeem that we might have it forever. Is that right? But why did He say love it not now? Because it's under the curse. It hasn't been purged.
Amen.
It's under the curse. You can't have homes and you can't have houses or land and you can't have automobiles and all these things fancied up and get your heart set on those things and still have God. You can't do it. I can't help how many preaches God wants you to prosper and all those kind of things. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you can't do it. Not go where we're planning to go. You can't do it. The Bible said to come to the fullness of His stature, and He surrendered His all. And that's what you're going to have to do to me. If you ever become His bride, one. So then the world is under the curse, and we can't love it, we can't touch it, until God purges it. Then He'll give it back to us. Fathers, we come to the close of another service tonight. Lord, we praise You for Your word. And Lord, we understand and know that people are not going to follow it. They never have. Lord, it never was given for them to follow it. It was given to bring judgment upon them. But Lord, Thy word was given to the saints of God. It was given to the sons of God. And You said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lord, it was sent to the elect, and they will hear it. Jesus, You said in Your word, they will hear it, and they will accept it. And that You would purge out and pluck out of Your kingdom everything that offended. Everything that had an old briar spirit about it, Lord, of resentment. An old briar spirit of entanglement that was sapping the life out of it. You said if You couldn't burn it off, You'd burn the tree with it. So then, Lord, we thank You tonight. Because though You set the fire to burn the chain, and Lord, there's many scars about the trees of God where they've been burned and bruised. Yet, Lord, with the coming springtime of Christ, they'll blossom and bloom again. And Lord, they'll overcome the scars and the defective parts. Lord, to be beautiful and radiant in Thy sight. We ask You to help us. Bless Brother Lamb in his service. Give us a great service tomorrow night, Jesus. Lord, touch us. Help us to preach the word without fear or favor, without regarding any man's person. Lord, without sparing any man's feelings, to lift up our voice like a trumpet and tell Thy people of their sins. We ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Now, I wonder if anybody would like to be prayed for tonight. I hope you'll come back. Might be just a few. But I expect the messages to get sharper and sharper. I try not to get too sharp until the last of the services. I always try to let go without holding back anything in. I try to, as Paul said, to feed on milk to start with and just preach faith and love and healing, those kind of things. But at the last, then it's time to weed them out. Pluck up everything that the Heavenly Father's not planted. Praise the Lord. You want to be prayed for tonight? You want to be prayed for tonight? If you do, I'll pray for you. We're not going to tarry long. I'll pray for you if you want to be prayed for.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Let's pray for everybody all together. Father, tonight I pray for my brothers and sisters,
yes,
in Christ tonight.
Oh, praise His sweet name. Hallelujah.
Lord,
as you said in your holy word. Jesus, when you was in this world, you said, Father, I do not pray for them that are not going to live right. I do not pray for the wicked, but you said, I pray for them that you have given me, that you will keep them. And Father, tonight I pray for them that you have given to your Son in the gospel. I pray that you will keep them, Father. Lord, in your grace and in your righteousness.
Thank you.
Lord, and I pray that you'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire as thou shalt gather thy grain in the darkness. Be with us, Lord. Make us a flame of fire. Oh, dear God, that we might consume the chaff, that we burn not the sword in vain, but execute judgment and wrath upon them that do evil as your word is spoken, to justify thee that thou mightest be just in the day of judgment. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to say this and turn the service back to our brother. As we go on in the last part of the revival, I feel God giving me messages stricter and stricter. The Bible said, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Paul rebuked Peter to his face. Open right. Though he had the keys to the kingdom, he wasn't too big to be rebuked. So I'm sure that none of us is. I don't think we're too far along that God will bother anybody for rebukes. Paul rebuked Peter and said, I blamed him to his face because he wasn't walking it right. I say this, he said, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Rebuke a fool and he'll blot your name all over town. So you get yourself all right. So you can tell when people are wise and when they're pouting, got spirits, because they gossip. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And the Bible said rebuke openly that others might fear, that they might see and fear. So as the services go on, I'll give open rebuke. If you don't want to hear it, you better not come. He said, well, what will you do when everybody's gone? Well, it'll be time to stop preaching then. When the brook dried up, God told Elisha, time to move.
That's right.
So the brook dries up when it's still across the river. Preaching them on the other side to try to get away from the place that was too strict. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. I turn this service back to our brother tonight.